gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Hello folks, welcome to the Distant Random Crap Podcast versus Fan Fiction. I'm your host Lee Sands, aka Wild Wild Ranger, and tonight I'm joined by
Blake Deneen, also known as Dying English.
And we're finally going to get this chapter done, folks. We originally started it and then the internet went city my end, and that was like, what, a fortnight ago?
Yeah, whatever a fortnight is.
2 weeks.
Okay.
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, work, unfortunately, folks. We gotta eat. Typically, my folks freaking killing me tomorrow. I think I'm getting an infection, and I'm trying to nail it in the bud with cough syrup and cough sweets and warm tea and water, or as Carl Herbert called it, lubricant for the throat.
Yeah. Right. It just recently got cooler over here, like 2 days ago. It started cooling off, so it's really been fucking with my sinuses.
There was a heat wave at the convention I went to. Oh yeah, folks, I went to Alcon last Sunday for the day. Little Karibo was there.
Oh, cool.
And Masako X. And X the Dark One, who does the Yu-Gi-Oh! GX abrids. And they did the charity auction, and Matty actually recorded it. Basically, at one point, Lil Karibo had a copy of 50 Shades of Grey. That previous panel, he'd read out in the Tristan and Bakura voices. And at the charity auction, he got the book, and he said, look, I'm donating this to raise money, because we're trying to get to the 4,000 mark. And then someone said, We'll pay money for you to destroy it instead. And he's like, oh, okay. And so, like, they got to, like, they said, like, right, get up to £50 and I'll rip this book apart. And, like, yeah, he got up there. And then someone shouted, do another auction on the book. This time, find a page with something really filthy on and read it and then eat it. And basically everyone was all like, you know, Get up to like £100, you know, like £60, no, £70. Trying like just to get. So then I shouted, read it in Kakashi Sensei's voice. He looked at me straight in the eye and said, you want me to read this as David Bowie? I was like, nodding my head ferociously, and Joey was next to me, and Matty was next to me, and they were like nodding it ferociously, going, yeah. So Matty managed to record Little Karibo on stage, reading a page from 50 Shades of Grey, a really filthy page, might I add, in David Bowie's voice.
This has been a dramatic reading with David Bowie. On YouTube, I think I saw a video of Gilbert Gottfried doing a dramatic reading of 50 Shades of Grey.
It was just one page, because apparently the chick who wrote that is like super lawsuity, so to speak. Like, if you, like, do a parody or something, like a parody trailer, she'll, like, sue the crap out of you for, like, copyright infringement. Allegedly.
Who gives a shit? It's porn. It all looks the same. Just call it something else.
Yeah, true. But it's, like, there was this, like, woman in commentary doing, like, these, like, burlesque parties, like, hen nights. And they have people come in, like, pretending to be characters from 50 Shades of Grey. Now she's suing her.
Oh, God.
It's a bit like Saban Band suing that, like, Baresso in New York who were doing the Power Ranger Baressos.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I heard about it when they started getting sued. It's like they took the guy to court who's making their Power Ranger hoodies. Been doing it for years, and like he ignored the cease and desist, and they've like fucking suing the crap out of him now. And now Saban Vance are releasing their own hoodie line.
God.
Anyway, so sorry, folks, we are way off topic here.
Yeah, how did we get here? Something about 50 Shades of Fucking or something?
Lil Karibo.
There we go. I want to see that video, though.
It's on Matty's Facebook.
Cool.
Do you want me to send it you right now? And we can, and like the listeners can hear you reacting to that?
Some other time. We got to get through this.
Alright.
Priorities.
Okay. Alright. So, folks, we're back with another chapter of Code of the Dead. You know, that piece of shit fanfic.
Not Code of the Living Dead. I hear that one's quite good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's like a fine meal at a restaurant, that fanfic. This.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, I heard he got a really bad job. He works 12 hours a day now. Poor guy. He's got we all got to eat, you know? I heard he was cool, though.
My money, my problems.
I heard some dick forced into what's a sign of movies, though. And we're going to make Titanic.
What the? Who would do that to a person, like?
I don't know. A real.
That's cruel.
A real bastard when you do that. Anywho, so we've got Code of the Dead, folks, written by Rebuskisk. That sounds like a dodgy porn name, Rebuskis. Jeremy Rebuskis. Yeah. That sounds like a porn name. Hey, folks. So, yeah. In the previous chapter, we like to point out that our heroes had just murdered a friend of theirs.
Yeah, they Org bashed in Millie's face with, like, a pipe or something.
Because he got bitten. And instead of doing a sensible thing like shooting her in the fucking head, no, they just bashed her brain in.
Well, they didn't have any guns, did they?
I thought they did.
Oh. No, I don't think they picked up any firearms yet.
You think they would have found one gun in a school? I'm just saying.
I mean, that's what I was thinking when I was writing code. Mm-hmm. Was I tried to think of a plausible way for these kids to get their hands on some form of a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought, you know, it's a high-end boarding school. Let's just assume that they have, like, skeet shooting or something. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, like, swim teams or track, you know, there's going to be a revolver somewhere, you know, starting pistol.
Or even an archery club or something.
Right, and I did end up giving Sam, you know, a bow.
Yeah.
And kind of pull it out of my ass. Yeah, she's an archer now, get over it.
Yeah. Watch out for a special cameo on the Arrow.
Yeah, fuck off.
Fuck off back to Bristol Town.
Fuck arse zombies!
Fun fact, when my uncle was on this podcast, we actually did read a Father Ted fanfic.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
He was just like, blah, 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 fake, blah, 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 arse. He just couldn't be bothered. After, like, a couple of paragraphs. Anyway, where were we? Yes. So we have.
Are we going to read the author's note?
It's just crap about fucking Kodioko Evolution.
Right.
I think we pretty much established this person might be a homophobe because apparently they got a problem with the fact that maybe Arlita's actress might be a homosexual.
Who gives a shit?
Hey, you mean Arlita making out in Kodioko Evolution? As long as they're legal, I'm okay with it.
Works for me.
Oh, and by the way, folks, this author has 34 reviews.
Ah! I'm not making this personal. I'm not making this personal. Let's just read the fucking story.
You're still pissed off that apparently the enemies are called ninjas in Kodioko Evolution.
I think that's what hurts the most.
But they are actually called ninjas, though. That's what makes it worse.
I think all they're taking is... all they're saying was, hey, Code Lyoko had a good run. It's really popular. Why don't we bring it back? But then there's this otaku thing. That's pretty, or whatever the fuck it's called. It all sounds the same. It's Japanese.
You see, my impression is they took a page out of Ann Austin's book. Ann Austin being someone who used to work on Power Rangers. And her view on, like, teenagers, back when she was on the show, was basically, I'm Ann Austin, and I know what the kids are into. They like it hip. They like it whack. They like it wiggity-wiggity-whack, yo.
I think all they're saying is, let's take Kid Lyoko, make it live action, and sprinkle some Japanese shit on it.
Let's make it whack. Wiggity-wiggity-whack, yo. Are you with me, Holmes?
It is certainly whack. I will tell you that right now.
Oh, Ann Austin, you are missed. Anywho, Chapter 6, The School, Part 2, The Forest.
Right, bear in mind, they did just murder a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, we got to emphasize this.
Okay.
Now, all we need is some cologne for Odd's feet. Yurik laughed, pointing at the purple-clad teen. Ha ha, you have smelly feet. Ha ha.
Ha ha, you have athlete's foot. Yeah, and we need Ulrich's diary, too, Odd mocked back.
Way ahead of you, good birdie. Yurik said while viewing his diary from his back pocket. Odd scolded at him before bursting into a fit of laughter.
Well, it's good to see the two of you are in a good mood. Yumi smiled at the two boys. Now get up, we've got supplies to transport.
Yeah, despite the fact we just murdered a close friend of ours.
Or bashed a face in with a lead pipe.
Odd recorded it and posted it on RedTube.
Blood everywhere.
You can now find it at /B.
Haha, we just murdered a little girl. Odd, you need some cologne for your feet, you know, because they smell. Well, you need your diary, because you're an emo pussy.
Oh, I was going to say something we've forgotten now. Hang on. The gang had decided that Yurik should drive through the woods. Being from Germany, he grew up on a farm. Where he learned to drive through dense pine forests at a young age. He and Yumi...
Every time we've seen Ulrich's father, he's wearing the business suit, and he's very, you know, stern and austere. Yeah, because I think of him, he's a beet farmer.
I love how one...
Ulrich's uncle is Dwight Schrute.
I love how one person took one look at Ulrich's father and just automatically assumed, yeah, he's molesting him. And wrote a fanfic about it.
Yeah, I know.
I just seem to...
How do you make that association, though? He's German. He must have grown up on a farm. Is that a thing?
I don't think so. When I think Germany, I think...
Nazis.
Well, yeah, actually, I do. That's quite horrible of me.
Being from Germany, Ulrich grew up in Auschwitz and knew the best way to kill a 12-year-old girl.
I also think of questionable porn as well, but, you know, we're not going to go there.
Scheiße.
He and Yumi were in the front seats, while Jeremy, Alita and Odd were in the back seats. Now you guys get comfortable back... Oh, I'll put your pants back on. Well, I'm just getting comfortable. Do I have an orgy in the back while you're driving?
Let's hope you know how to hotwire a truck, Odd taunted. Ulrich had learned this during his farming days as well.
Because, you know, when...
Ulrich stripped the rubber coating from the wires before gently pressing them together. The vehicle pattered for a few seconds before springing to life as fumes found their way from the exhaust.
And, you know, the engine spluttering and making that loud, that, you know, bang-type noise as the exhaust fumes are coming out the back. Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to alert a horde or anything. Yurik turned to face Odd. You were saying? Odd stuck his tongue out at him and then smiled. Yurik then grabbed the tongue and slit it off. Can't talk anymore.
What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I did say earlier, folks, I would read Yurik as creepy.
They don't get Bat Ulrich.
No, they don't get the good Ulrich. They get Hannibal Lecter Ulrich.
Hello, you hear me?
See, now I've got this mental image of Jim's like high on drug and York's opening up his brain pan and it's like feeding his brain to him.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's fucking stupid, that scene in the film.
Edward Norton's trying to stop him. No!
I thought that was the next one.
I guess, I don't know. I haven't seen any of them in so long. The last one I saw was Red Dragon.
You know, they made a prequel called Hannibal Rising. It was really sick.
Yeah, they did. I saw it once, but I do want to see the Hannibal movies again. I just haven't seen them in forever. But I do remember Hannibal Rising being kind of stupid.
Well, technically, the first one's Manhunter, and it doesn't have Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter.
Right, it's a prequel.
Yeah, well, Manhunter was the very first film, and then they made
Silence of Lambs.
No, the very first one is Manhunter with Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter.
Holy shit!
Yeah, you know, the baddie from X-Men 2.
Oh!
And then they made Silence of the Lambs, but because he was in the
Vehicle. Say fuck it and read the books.
Yeah, pretty much. But when it came to Silence of the Lambs, he was unavailable, so they just recast him with Anthony Hopkins, and then it sort of stuck, you know?
Oh. Well, Anthony Hopkins is good.
He is. But, you know, Brian Cox, they're both different. But
right.
They're both creepy.
Yeah. Just different flavors of creepy.
Yeah.
Like you have Odd with furry and gay porn creepy, and then you have Ulrich with I'm going to inappropriately touch you creepy.
Yeah. That's one way. Or, you know, you have creepy, like, those two Digimon movies I showed ya, where you have anime Steve Jobs turning out to be some kind of weird goat monster. And then you have the next film, which was a 12-year-old girl getting grabbed by a tentacle spider monster that's raping a train.
Oh, Japan, you're so crazy.
You know what makes me laugh? They were actually planning to release that film in US cinemas. Mommy, what's that tentacle monster doing to that train? Don't look, Junior!
What's that tentacle monster doing to Thomas?
Thomas was experiencing a whole new sensation. Oh, ow, I don't like this. Annie,
that image of Thomas the Tank Engine, his eyebrows are raised and his mouth is like a circle and he's just, oh!
Annie and Clarabelle looked on in horror as Thomas screamed, ah!
Percy, that's naughty! Damn it! Scene transition.
Hang on. The forest was quiet, a little too quiet. It was the middle of the night, yet there were no crickets chirping. The only sound that could be heard was the crunching of leaves under the extended cab truck.
So apparently, this truck is really fucking quiet. You're not hearing the engine or the rumbling of tires or something. You're just hearing the crunching of leaves.
Yeah. You're not hearing a.
I'm a truck. I'm a loud vehicle. It's too freaking cramped in here, Odd mumbled. He opened a window, letting his hair whip through the light breeze outside. That's better.
Alita gazed at his hair. What are you going to do now that you can't use some gel to spot your hair?
Odd started to answer, but Ulrich cut him off. Some gel? We're like 3 or 4 bottles.
Also, if he wins out, you know, he just does what they did in There's Something About Mary. Hey, yo, can you just masturbate this cup for me? Why? for health class?
Let's not split hairs here.
Odd stuck his head back in through the window. Gorgeous. Gorgeous hair such as mine takes effort, unlike you with your emo style.
Just because a few strands cover my eye doesn't mean I'm emo.
No, the fact you're emo makes you emo.
Emo.
you and your fucking sick music. Sorry. Yumi turned to Arlita and Jeremy. How could they be fighting about her in a time like this? I mean, we just
really gay for each other.
I mean, we just murdered.
Like an old married couple.
We just well, an old gay married couple. We just murdered a 12-year-old girl who was a friend of ours. And let's not forget, we also murdered Jim.
She's fucking dead. Her blood is still on Ora's clothes.
We also murdered Jim. We also murdered William.
Sissy! We killed Sissy!
Jeremy thought, yo, I know, I posted a red tube. That was fucking awesome.
You guys really seem to be handling the fact that your world just ended really, really well.
Whose line was it? Oh, yeah, you're sorry.
Eileen rolled her eyes before grabbing Jeremy's hand. They're boys, Yumi. One always has to be better than the other.
Oh,
and yet they're arguing over their hair. They're not doing something macho like, I can lift weights!
I can stab a zombie in the eye with a pencil. Odd notice her holding Jeremy's hand. Yeah, and that guy is me.
Said the purple-clad teenager.
With the furry fetish.
Where's Kiwi? Do they have Kiwi?
He did go to feed him.
Yeah, he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
The group thought that he was referring to the argument between him and Ulrich, but it was more than that. No one except Ulrich actually knew about his love for Aelita. Odd's thoughts were cut short by a familiar growling sound.
Oh, didn't you eat before we left? I know, I'm still hungry.
You ate Millie's corpse! Well, I didn't want it to, go to waste.
Did you not get enough of those waffles you made? You know, with the Santa eye symbol on it?
Oh, yeah! Oh my god, I forgot about that shit. We're gonna go into this cafeteria surrounded by zombies. Let's make waffles!
With our enemy's eye on them. And laugh about it. Ha ha
ha! These waffles have chocolate chips.
Put your seatbelts on. We've got company. You exclaimed, flooring the gas pedal.
I thought you said there wouldn't be any zombies, Odd said while rolling up his window. As the window shut, an unlucky infected made an attempt to grab Odd. Before it was able to pull its arm out, the window shut and severed the arm on... And the severed... Oh, God. And the severed arm landed in Odd's lap.
How
fast was this truck driving?
Not very fast, probably.
Apparently, if a zombie can just jog up to him and be like, hey, I'm gonna grab something to eat real quick. Hold on, guys.
Also, you're in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. What makes you think there won't be zombies everywhere? I've played both Left 4 Dead. There are zombies every fucking where.
If you have to fart, you better hold it in until you get to a safe house.
Yeah.
Odd alerted the horde. Damn it, Odd!
What's that one with the giant mutated arm that jumps on your face and starts beating the shit out of you?
I know what you're talking about. It's been a while since I've played Left 4 Dead 2.
I just got this mental image of York going, damn it, Odd! And then it just jumps on York's face and starts punching the shit out of him.
I just love picturing them walking along, and all of a sudden you hear a shrieking sound, and then a hunter just fucking appears out of nowhere.
Turns
into the ground, starts clawing the shit out of them.
Odd's just standing there recording it. Wow, I'm busy. Why don't Yumi just get it off him?
Because she's being pounded by the guy with the big arm. Ha!
Where's Jeremy Arlita? Where's Jeremy Arlita? That tank's got him. He's making them kiss. Something like
he's got the tank sitting down. He's picking them up and playing with them like they're dolls.
Yeah. Jamie's like, I guess it's better than getting stabbed to death by a hunter. I do have the weirdest boner though. Anyway, Holy shit, Odd screamed.
Ah, don't damage it. I can study that, Jeremy yelled.
It's already damaged. I mean...
It's decayed, necrotic flesh.
And it's probably cropped a field of Odd as soon as it landed.
I mean, that's the problem they typically have in zombies movies and shit, right? They can't study it because they can't find it fresh enough specimens.
True, and... Oh, God, anywho. Odd reluctantly grabbed the plastic bag Jim had left in the floor and stuffed the arm inside it. He hastily slipped the bag to the floorboard, then shakily grabbed Alita's arm and cuddled up to her.
I don't want to see a zombie ever again, he said while rocking back and forth. Oh, 5 seconds ago you were a big badass who was cooler than Orange. The severed arm falls into your lap and suddenly you're in the fetal position? Man up!
Yurik's all like, just looks in a weird few mirror at him and goes, pussy.
You're gonna see some more fucked up shit before your time on this apocalyptic world is over. You still have to fight humans if they do something bad.
You know, because you won't buy that Valentine's Day card so badly, according to the preview. Alita put her arm around his shoulders. Don't worry. You'll get your revenge, she smiled down at him. He let go of her arm and composed himself.
Before Odds could completely regain himself, the infected who had just lost an arm came back for revenge. With all of its might, it struck the window.
How fucking slow is this fucking truck going?
I don't know. It's like Orange, like, buckle up, everyone. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And then it just shows the outside of the car. It's just slowly inching its way along the path.
It's like that bit from Austin Powers where the guy's screaming, stop! And it's just slowly driving along.
The zombie is just walking along next to the car, knocking on it and being like, hey, give me the blonde one, I'm hungry.
Ah! Was all Odd managed to scream before the infected dragged him out of the vehicle. Oh, so when it struck the window, it actually broke it, apparently.
Drive faster! But I want to see Odd piss himself!
As he held up his camera and recorded the scene.
Odd! Alita grabbed the metal pipe that was sitting on her lap and charged out of the truck. Odd, grab my hand!
Odd made an effort.
Okay, so apparently the truck's not moving at all now. When it grabs Odd, or does it speed up to try and get away, he just lets him pull him out. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry to any listeners who are listening who end up being stuck in a truck that I'm driving during the zombie apocalypse, but if something drags you out of a fucking window, my foot's going on the fucking pedal. I'm getting the fuck out of there. Right, you better not be a survivor trying to wave me down for help, okay? Because I'm just going to drive right through you if I'm getting chased by a horde. Could be an old lady with her grandkids begging for help. No, fuck you! I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Fuck off. I can make you cookies!
Damn it! I should probably press the brake. I could have got cookies then. Ah, well... More food for me. Odd made an effort to grab at her, but the infected continued to drag him deep into the forest. With his last bit of energy, he whipped around and kicked. He opened his eyes and shocked as he felt a pain not knowing the surge through his ankle. As his adrenaline began to sweep through his veins, he kicked once more, feeling his suit collide with the infected's body. He swiftly emerged from the ground, shoving Alita back into the truck.
I'm trying to picture everything that happened here, but it's not really working. It's like it drags him away from the truck and into the forest. And then he starts fighting the zombie a little bit. And then he fights the zombie away, but he's only like 2 or 3 feet away from the truck.
I got this mental image that as soon as he tried to kick the zombie, Alita took a swing and that's why it hurt.
No, he got bitten. He shut the door behind him as Oryx sped away. They were out of the forest in seconds. We just arrived in front of the factory entrance.
Guys!
Way to floor it, Auric!
Guys, the gang looked at Odd, then down to his ankle. The sight was grotesque, unlike anything any of them had ever seen, because, you know, they've never been on 4/B. The flesh on his ankle had been chewed off, revealing the bone beneath it. The torn section of his purple jeans was now drenched in blood, and around his wound the flesh was already rotting.
Oh, no.
These were new pants! Yurik and Jeremy were carrying Odd through the underbelly of the factory towards the old barracks the workers would use.
How long do you think this will last? Jeremy asked. Orc, being a master of pentaxilot, knew what pressure points to push in order to make Odd drop into a coma.
He just grabs him by the shirt collar and just goes... This pinches him till he drops his conscience.
What the author tells you happened. What I think happened. Oh god, it really hurts. Oh, I wish we had painkillers or something. Don't worry, I can make you unconscious. Crack! Upside the back of the head with the pipe.
Yeah. He's so asleep they jam a fork into his junk. Just like in an episode of Bottom with the Gas Man.
Gasman!
I love their first thought of getting rid of that body was calling up the local takeaway. And then the guy went...
What are we going to do with the body? What body? Eddie, that's pathetic.
And am I the only one that pictures Jeremy and Yurik when I watch Bottom?
Apparently, because I don't picture them at all.
I just see Jeremy's Eddie, it's like the funniest fucking thing ever.
Hello, hello, hello. What's that dead body doing under the carpet? Damn it!
A few days, Yurik paused to gather his thoughts. If what I can remember is correct, the transformation will be slower if he is asleep. That should buy us some time to get some medicine for him.
Who are you to make that medical diagnosis?
Yeah, isn't Jeremy the expert? I mean, what evidence do they have that it works slower that way? I'm just saying.
Aelita mentioned that they should check the super scan to see if Xana had launched an attack, and Yumi went with her.
I can't believe I let him get bitten, Aelita muttered. If only I reacted a couple of seconds sooner. Or, you know, if you could actually fucking floored it. See, yell, punching the elevator wall. I've just got this mental image now, she's like, like the lightest punch you could ever think of.
She's the Fluttershy of the group. I'm so angry I could scream.
I'm so angry I'm going to tear up this photo of Sissy that I spat on earlier. Two hours later.
I think I creased it a little bit. There was no way you could have prevented it, sweetheart. That infection was incredibly fast. There was no way for you or any of us could have caught up to it. Yumi reassured her. Besides, we're going into the city tomorrow to get medicine. It'll be fine, I promise. Yumi said the words with confidence, but deep inside she was feeling the same way as Aelita. She had a special way of bottling up her emotions.
Yeah, it's called violent sex with Yurik. Just ties up Yurik, puts on the giant strap-on. Take it, bitch, take it!
Bite the pillow, I'm going in dry.
And I thought the sex with Sissy was bad.
We're not over when we're finished. I'm over. It's over when I'm done.
She said, lighting a cigar. That's what Yumi needs in this fanfic. She needs a cigar and, like, a weird-looking top hat. And maybe a monocle. You know what? I think I might make that the episode artwork. The elevator doors open, revealing the super calculator. Alita paced towards the screen, realizing that Jamie had left the security camera's footage playing.
Yumi pointed to a particular window. Why are all the infected gathering towards that spot?
I'm not sure. Let me zoom in for a closer look. As the camera focused in on a small crowd of zombies, a blonde-haired figure emerged from behind a pile of rubble, annihilating the group.
What? You're not even saying how it's annihilating the group.
I'm assuming.
She could be in a tank for all we know. And that's why she's killing the shit out of the zombies.
Yeah. Just driving over them. Whilst... da 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 is playing in the background.
Is that what I think it is? Yumi said.
It's a giant penis.
Oh god, it followed me from Japan.
It's a survivor, Yumi. We have to help her.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, it was the tentacle monster then, but oh well.
Yeah, thank you.
Alright, author's note. And that's a wrap. If you have any more Kobioko Evolution news that I didn't mention at the top, feel free to write it in a review or PM me.
Why are you putting this in your story?
No smiley face, by the way.
The power has been out here for a day or two.
I'm telling you,
the nightmares are getting worse. I haven't slept more than a couple of hours the last few days.
A large lightning storm knocks out all electrical devices while giving people headaches and disturbed sleep.
Don't close your eyes too tightly, my dear. You might miss what's right in front of you.
That's not my son's voice.
You can't stop me. I'll eventually take you and everyone else. I'll take you all.
If you go through with this, you and I will have moved beyond negotiation.
There's nothing to be afraid of. The Somnium makes everything better.
No one will save you, just like no one saved Jerry. Not even you.
Doctor Who visits Sleepless Amberley. A 3-episode audio drama by Whitney Robinson from Siegel Chord Productions.